Amazon Business honors Ricardo Gurgel, owner of Veggie Root Tavern. This week, Ricardo saved big and used Amazon Business to help his team buy commercial deep fryers at a quantity discount. Because even veggies can be fried.
I'm gonna need 2 orders of fried fiddleheads.
With business buying easier than before, Ricardo now uses his extra time to focus on growing something big. Buy smarter, dream bigger. Visit Amazon Business, your partner for smart business buying. Mmm, fiddleheads. Yum. Today with Amazon Business, Shannon Stuckey of Walburn Woodworking helped her team buy 63 circular saws.
Okay, Andy, take it easy.
Now she uses her time to focus on growing something big. Buy smarter, dream bigger. Visit Amazon Business, your partner for smart business buying.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is our Signal Storm podcast.
So I've long been an advocate of the separation of government keeping its big nose out of business. I don't think government has any reason to be in business. Government ought to let the people flourish and stick in its own lane. And its own lane is the Constitution of the United States. I believe that businesses have a right to determine where government goes insofar as the individuals inside of that corporation. The employees and the management have one vote, right? And they can advocate and donate to individuals they see fit. The businesses can support politicians that will support that business's longevity. I have begun to modify my enthusiasm for corporate America insofar as the folks in charge of woke companies today are working solidly against the American people's best interests, our constitutional rights and our values. They're using their tremendous power and influence to undermine our safety, security, and longevity, our freedoms and our liberties. This, what do they call it? Environmental social governance BS coming from the World Economic Forum. People with a lot of money are trying to use that money to say, oh, you can't buy fossil fuels anymore. You can't use clean burning natural gas. We're going to instead make you use batteries, which are way expensive and toxic to the earth, so we can continue to fleece you. And you can have your movements controlled because, you know, you can't go those long distances on battery power. It's kind of devious what they're planning on doing, all, you know, on this predicate of man-made global warming, which is an unproven theory. And frankly, there's just more evidence out there that shows that naturally occurring weather changes and climate changes are happening irrespective of man's involvement. Is man's involvement non-existent and non-influential? No, I think there is an impact. But the fact that it's a driving force, I don't think has been proven. There's another aspect, too, and we've talked a lot about this before in the podcast, because of what they're trying to do to the internet. They're trying to take free speech away from the internet, from what we do in media, what we do in conservative talk radio, what we do on podcasting, what we do in conservative television. They're trying to take away the freedom of speech. And the drivers of this are massive social media companies like Facebook, Twitter, and these multimedia companies like Google and their subsidiary YouTube. As you know, the Chris Salcedo Show is off most of those platforms. The reason I'm off is because I will not do business with individuals who are anti-Americans. I won't. I simply won't. And it is the most anti-American thing I can think of to censor free speech. Constitutionally protected speech. But that's precisely what these social media companies are doing. And Josh Hawley, in a rather extraordinary cross-examination of Chris Cox, executive from Facebook, got him to admit, was, again, jaw-dropping. And I think it was a treasure trove of testimony. Here's Josh Hawley, again, grilling Chris Cox of Facebook over his censorship and collusion with Joe Biden's regime. Listen to this.
Mr. Cox, I know that Facebook has said in the past that it's their position as a private company, you're not subject to the First Amendment. I assume that hasn't changed. Is that right?
That's correct, Senator.
But the United States government is subject to the First Amendment. I think we can probably all agree on. Hopefully we can. Hopefully that's still true in this country.
Yeah. So notice, first off, hi, we're Facebook, and we don't believe in the First Amendment to the United States Constitution. We're an American company, but we don't have American values. We don't believe in that Constitution. We don't believe in the First Amendment. Not too big on the Second Amendment. I'm sure they aren't either. I think they're censoring a lot of that on social media as well. But again, what an astonishing statement. You folks don't believe in the First Amendment. That's right.
Is it appropriate for Facebook to work with the United States government to avoid the First Amendment, help the U.S. government avoid the First Amendment?
Senator, we do think it is sometimes appropriate to be in contact with government and with government organizations.
Yeah, that's not what he asked you, dumbass. It's not what he asked you. He asked you, is it appropriate for Facebook to aid government in censoring free speech, constitutionally protected free speech, that the administration doesn't like, to use government force to force you to do it on their behalf? And is it right for Facebook to cooperate with such totalitarianism?
To help them avoid the First Amendment?
Senator, I'm not sure what specifically you're referring to.
Yeah, he just doesn't get it, folks. So Josh Hawley's going to say, oh, well, allow me to illuminate you, Chris Cox of Facebook, who seems woefully ignorant of what his social media platform, he's not really, but I'm just going to go with it, woefully ignorant of what his social media platform has been up to.
Do you think it's appropriate to work with the United States government to target private individual speech that is constitutionally protected?
Senator, I'm not aware of that.
Well, let me educate you. On July 16th, 2021, Facebook, an employee at Facebook wrote to the Department of Health and Human Services saying, and I quote, "I know our teams met today to better understand the scope of what the White House expects from us on misinformation going forward." On July 23rd, 2021, a Facebook employee thanked HHS, quote, "for taking the time to meet earlier today and wanted to make sure you saw the steps we just took this past week to adjust policies and what we are removing with respect to misinformation. This included," and I'm still quoting, "increasing the strength of our demotions for COVID and vaccine-related content."
Yeah, so if you're at Facebook and you're saying ivermectin shows promise according to my doctor, that can't be allowed. Even though Facebook doesn't have medical degrees, I'm assuming they don't, and you got on there and said, look, my doctor prescribed ivermectin, which, by the way, folks, I got the China virus. I was prescribed ivermectin. I was, because according to my doctor, there is evidence to suggest that ivermectin stops the replication of the virus. You're still going to be infected. You're still going to fight it off, but you're trying to get in the virus's way so it doesn't overwhelm your system. And by the way, might I remind you, on the CDC's or FDA's website, I can't remember which one it was, one of those government entities just quietly added ivermectin into the protocol for treatment of the China virus under survey type standards. So if they're trying to study the effects of certain medications, one of the medications is ivermectin. But if you talked about this on Facebook, they were going to silence you over it at the behest of the White House. The White House, the politicians in the White House said, oh, we don't like this being talked about, so Facebook censor this for us, and Facebook said, okay.
On April 7th, 2021, a Facebook employee thanked the CDC for responding to misinformation queries, and I quote, "we'll get moving now to be able to remove all but that one claim as soon as the announcement and authorization happens." On July 28th of this year, a Facebook employee reached out to CDC about, quote, "doing a monthly misinfo debunking meeting." The CD responded, "yes, we would love to do that." I'm sure they would. On July 20th, 2021, Clark Humphrey at the White House, who's digital director of the COVID-19 response team, emailed Dave Sumner at your company, among others, asking any way we can get this pulled down and cited a specific Instagram account. Within 46 seconds, your company responded and said, yep, on it.
So the White House doesn't like free speech, constitutionally protected free speech. They call up Facebook. Facebook says, yep, going to take care of it, going to silence our customers for you. First off, if I were a customer of Facebook, I would, or Instagram, I'd say, screw you, buddy. I'm in business with you. I'm the client, not Beijing Biden. But Facebook, being the totalitarians that they are, because they are ideologically aligned with communist China and Joe Biden and the Democrat Party, this is no problem for them. And they're a private company, folks.
That sounds like what in the law we call a pattern and practice of meeting, coordinating, and colluding with the United States government to target particular speech that no one in any of these emails alleges is incitement, which would not be constitutionally protected. No one in any of these emails alleges it directly encourages violence, which would not be constitutionally protected. So it appears to all be constitutionally protected speech on, I might add, very politically sensitive topics that Facebook is directly working with the U.S. government to target and remove. Is that your company policy to do this kind of thing?
Senator, we were quite public about our cooperation with health organizations during the unprecedented time of COVID.
Oh, yes. Our cooperation with health organizations. All of them? Every single one of them, Mr. Cox? Oh, no. Only the ones in government. Only government. Did you work with all the healthcare officials out there that were saying, look, there's more to fighting the China virus than just the protocol that's being given by those in Washington, D.C.? You know, from those who practice medicine in the trenches. No, none of that was allowed unless government gave the okay. And now, if Facebook were an American company that believed in the First Amendment, when the government came to them and said, look, we're going to ask you to censor your own clients, Facebook would have said, I'm sorry, that's not our business model. Free speech is free speech. We are required under Section 230 not to edit anybody's content, because if we do, then we are no longer protected from lawsuits. So I'm sorry, Mr. Biden, unless the Biden administration wants to go public about our relationship here, wants to indemnify us from prosecution for us violating Section 230, I'm sorry, we can't accommodate you. We will not silence our clients, our customers, because these are politically inconvenient conversations they're having on our platform. But that's not what Facebook did. Facebook said, yeah, we're left-wing crazy people just like you, Joe Biden. We don't like the Constitution. We don't like freedom and liberty. We want to clamp down. And all of you folks out there who are still on Facebook, they used you. They abused you. And I'm sad to say that there's still millions of even folks on our side who are saying, thank you, sir. Can I have another? Now, this isn't the most egregious revelation to come from this testimony. Coming up next with the Attorney General of the great state of Texas, I will play a soundbite from Chris Cox of Facebook where he admits, I believe, from what I heard, he admits that Facebook is now open for lawsuits from everybody who's ever been wronged by Facebook. Anybody who has been censored by Facebook, now they have abdicated because of this testimony, I believe, on Capitol Hill, under oath, they have abdicated their Section 230 protections. And we'll discuss it. The Attorney General of the great state of Texas, Ken Paxton, coming up on the Salcedo Storm Podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
The establishment media is out of touch with the real things real Texans care about. Real news for real Texans. That's what Texas Scorecard does every day. Learn more and subscribe for free. TexasScorecard.com/Chris.
All right, my friends, let's get to the Attorney General from the great state of Texas, Ken Paxton. Sir, welcome back to the Salcedo Storm podcast.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Hope you're doing well.
All right, back at you. Major victory for the First Amendment at the Fifth Circuit. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so the Texas legislature passed a social media bill that protected citizens' right to free speech on these platforms. We actually lost in, I think the first court was in Austin, and the Fifth Circuit overruled that and basically said that these big tech companies could not censor free speech on their platforms.
Okay, so that now this is, I'm getting a lot of questions about this in particular online. So this is for Texas only. How is that going to work in practical application?
Well, so it's in the Fifth Circuit. I'm guessing, because it was a Texas law, so it only applies to Texas because we passed it. There'll be other states, I'm guessing, that will attempt this once they see that we've been successful. Now, there's also very likely that this will get appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them take it.
Now, walk me through the details on this, because social media giants, they are private companies, and they have the right, as a private company, to censor. So on what constitutional basis is Texas saying you don't have the right to censor?
So I'll just tell you, the court made several arguments. The first was that the First Amendment's text didn't apply to this, that it was what they called editorial discretion, and that this was regulating conduct, not speech. And that Section 230, which was passed by Congress to protect these companies, actually reinforces the view that the company's censorship is conduct and not speech. And then they also made the argument that because they're a common carrier, under the common carrier doctrine, it supports the law that was passed because it allows states to prevent common carriers from discriminating against its customers.
I see. Okay, so that makes a little bit more sense. Now I'm going to play a back and forth between Chris Cox of Facebook and Senator Josh Hawley. And I don't think this is quite long, Mr. Attorney General, so I just want you to wade through it with me. But I think this got lost. This is Chris Cox, in my view, admitting under oath in congressional testimony that Facebook is a publisher. And in so doing, you know what that means. When you admit that you're a publisher and not a platform, you no longer enjoy the protections from lawsuits that Section 230 provides. Listen to this exchange and tell me if, in your legal opinion, you agree. Listen.
Well, isn't there a difference between you as a platform putting forward information and censoring your users at the behest of the White House, the administration more broadly, and the CDC? Isn't there a distinction there?
We specifically wanted to work with public health experts to understand the relationship between information and behavior. And so we did consult with the CDC, the World Health Organization, and others to understand how the platform policies we built were affecting public health.
Well, you didn't just consult with them to understand how they affected public health. You actually censored on their behalf. I mean, you took these emails, I'm just quoting from a sample of them, which, by the way, have been disclosed in litigation. These emails show that you took censorship steps. You took down accounts. You planned misinformation policies. You adjusted your policies at the behest of the United States government. I mean, that's not just some theoretical thing. That's actually targeting your user's speech. But I appreciate your forthrightness, by the way. But you're saying that you think that's fine, and that was your policy.
Senator, we've been public about our policies on COVID misinformation specifically, as well as on misinformation generally.
And so you think you're not concerned about any of this? Nothing that I just read to you, you're not concerned about it at all?
Respectfully, Senator, I think the balance of how to protect free expression as well as public safety is a difficult issue, but it's one we're committed to working with outside experts and publishing our work.
Publishing our work, right there. He just admitted, did I read that wrong? Didn't he just admit, Mr. Attorney General, that Facebook considers itself a publisher?
It sure did sound like that to me, Chris. I don't think he meant to do that. Obviously, the good senator had him on the ropes a little bit, and I think he it was almost like a Freudian slip. And they did admit that they are a publisher.
Yeah. So, I mean, legally speaking, he was under oath when he spoke that. So on that predicate, can now legal action be taken? Let's just say because I had to come off Facebook because they were censoring my content, I wanted to sue Facebook because Chris Cox, one of their head honchos, admitted under oath that they were a publisher.
Look, I think it opens it up. I'm not an expert on 230 because it's a federal law that we have, you know, very little input on, if any. That's why we passed our own state laws, like the one you and I just discussed, because of the frustration we've had with these special protections that Congress gave these internet companies that I think have long past served their purpose.
The Attorney General of the great state of Texas, Ken Paxton, is our guest right now. Let's move on to the environmental social governance concept being pushed by private woke companies to achieve what totalitarians in government can't under our Constitution. This, I guess the primary target of the ESG is the fossil fuel industry, of which Texas is a huge player. Describe their efforts in Texas, and what is Texas and maybe some of our partners in other states doing to push back on the black rocks of the world?
Well, and let me just say that they're starting with the oil and gas producers that provide most of our energy, but that's not where it'll stop. They'll decide for all of us what companies can produce and what they can't. And it's basically large companies like BlackRock. There's a few of them that manage trillions of dollars of assets. And we all, as investors, through our 401ks and through our, you know, just investments, we give them proxies to go vote for us. So then they go and tell all these companies, even competitors, hey, Exxon, Chevron, you guys can't do any more oil and gas production or exploration, which then has an impact, one, on our future energy production, but two, it also affects the value of these holdings. So we are all being harmed by this, because if you look at least the studies that I've looked at, the shareholders are the ones that lose money. The returns are lower because of these companies directing traffic when they should just look out for the interest of their shareholders. That's really their fiduciary obligation. And in my opinion, they're violating that obligation.
Well, see, and this sounds an awful lot like, if I can mix topics here, it's the same MO like Operation Chokepoint, which was the government placing pressure on financial institutions not to lend to gun stores, not to lend to individuals who wanted to start businesses or finance their businesses if they trafficked in a constitutionally protected item like guns. And now we're learning, Mr. Attorney General, that Visa, MasterCard, and American Express are colluding with the federal government to classify firearms purchases under a particular code so the government can use that data to track it. Is there anything that the state of Texas can do to push back on those credit card companies who are trying to, in essence, institute a backdoor gun registry?
Yeah, and let me say, first of all, it doesn't just apply to people that are involved in gun manufacturing. I personally, they go after politicians, too. Ever since I've been Attorney General, I've dealt with with this choke point, because I've had big banks tell me that they can't lend to me because I'm in this position I'm in. I'm on some list. So I've had credit cards shut down. I've had bank accounts shut down.
Wow.
Only with large banks. And I'm on a list. So I know that this is going on. But I can tell you right now, the state of Texas passed something as it relates to the at least some of these issues. And we are able right now, because of some of those regulations, to stop, like, some of these companies from doing business with Texas and from issuing any kind of public debt. And we're in the middle of that, some of those issues right now.
So, right, that was going to be my question. How do we push back on all of this? And so do we have adequate tools in the state of Texas to make the Black Rocks of the world, the Visas, the MasterCards, and the American Expresses of the world, to make them pay a heavy price for their wokeness, trying to impose their backward leftist values on all of us using their money?
No, I think there's more that can be done. Certainly the legislature has made moves in that direction, like they have with oil and gas issues, but they need to do more, because if they put in place, we're not going to do business with you if you're going to discriminate against people based on certain political issues, that affect the state and affect shareholders' ability to maximize, you know, their retirements and their wealth, then the state of Texas, I think, needs to speak out and give either me or some of the comptroller, whoever, the authority to limit those companies' ability to do business with the state of Texas, which obviously, given that we're the, you know, ninth largest economy in the world by ourselves, has an impact.
Well, let me, so without giving away or betraying any confidences, are you in discussion with members of the legislature to give you those tools or to create those tools so the state of Texas can protect itself from these woke companies?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely begun those discussions. Obviously, we don't go into session until January, so it'll be much easier to get the attention of the legislature after they're elected. So that I'm waiting for November 8th to really dig into some of this because, you know, obviously they haven't been elected yet, and many of them are involved in campaigns, and as soon as those are over, that's when you really can say, okay, this person's the person we need to deal with.
I hear you. The Attorney General of the great state of Texas, Ken Paxton, is our guest right now. El Paso's DA, there's a petition out there for her removal. She's a Democrat, and she behaves like most Democrats do. Her name is Yvonne Rosales. She's accused of official misconduct and incompetence. As I said, that description fits most in the Democrat Party in political office in Texas and beyond. So why do you think more aren't facing the music the way this particular Democrat is? Because there are examples after example after example I can cite to you in the news where Democrats are behaving just like this, but they're continuing. For example, in Harris County, the commissioner's court is a prime example of this with incompetence and official misconduct. Why aren't more of these Democrats facing the music?
Look, a lot of these counties are Democratic counties, and George Soros put a lot of these district attorneys in place, like in Travis County and Bexar County, in Harris County. He supported them for a reason. And unless the voters, which tend to be primarily Democrat, come out and vote their people out, it's pretty much a genius move on Soros' part because he's creating chaos. He's creating a situation where the rule of law is not important. And I think the legislature could address this by giving concurrent jurisdiction to the Attorney General's office so that we can pursue things that these district attorneys have decided as a matter of their own law, not the law of the state, but as a matter of their own decision about, I'm going to make the decision about what the law is. Because effectively, the legislature has empowered the DAs over the course of our history to make that decision. And we've fortunately, in most cases, the DAs have followed law. But now, Soros has figured out, well, I'll put my people there. The legislature should address this and give the Attorney General the ability to have jurisdiction to either prosecute a DA who's committed a crime, which is right now you can't do, or go after people that DAs are just like, we're not prosecuting those people.
Yeah, well, what about just having a standard? I mean, that in the state of Texas, we have a standard that if you're a district attorney, you will enforce the law as written by the legislature, and this prosecutorial discretion needs to be narrowly focused so that the people aren't paying the price because Emperor Palpatine decided to buy off a whole bunch of DA's races.
Well, the challenge there is prosecutorial discretion is, I mean, you can only do so many cases, right? So
right.
It's based some on resources. So you have prosecutors in every county that has to make decisions based on resources. And if there's a law that directs that they have to prosecute every one of these, they may not have the resources. So that's why I think if you had a backup to the situation, you had some type of accountability and a backup, you'll never get to every case, even if you have a backup. But at least you can ensure that some of the more egregious cases were prosecuted and that local district attorneys couldn't just basically nullify the law, because that's what they're doing. They're nullifying Texas law, and the legislature passes laws, and they nullify it, and the legislature at this point is saying, you know, nothing we can do about it.
No.
That's not true. They can fix it. They can fix it in the next session if they want to. Otherwise, George Soros is going to have tremendous power in our state, and we are going to suffer accordingly, and eventually, I think it costs us this state.
It already is, and where the folks are doing their job there in Austin, Mr. Attorney General, crime is off the charts in Austin. Violent crime also coming up in cities like Houston. There's a Fox story out of the state capital, Austin, which features a food truck owner saying, look, my truck has been broken into 15 times. And that's That is the MO. Austin is now a crime center. Houston is now a crime center. Wherever you have left-wingers in charge, crime is running rampant. And the Republican-controlled legislature is just telling the people of Texas, you're going to have to deal with it. If there was one thing that you would recommend they pass to get these rogue Democrat jurisdictions under control, what would it be?
Well, look, I've suffered that myself. My house was had damage, and I had stuff, all my stuff in a storage unit. It was taken, stolen, and you know, Austin PD said they didn't have the resources. They knew who had done it. They didn't have the resources to pursue it.
Wow!
So that's how it turned out. It was ridiculous. I mean, I think you're going to see the same thing with voter fraud, given that supposedly Court of Criminal Appeals, a Republican court, said I can't prosecute voter fraud. So we're going to see a lot more voter fraud in Texas, and no one's going to pursue it. So the reality is the Texas legislature has the keys to the kingdom in their hand. They can pass legislation that provides, whether it's me or somebody else, they need to provide some type of backstop to district attorneys who are nullifying the law, because we are going to continue to suffer higher crime rates, including voter fraud, which will effectively change our elections. If they don't address this soon, it will be too late.
Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, sir, we appreciate your time and good luck on the campaign trail, sir.
Hey, thank you very much, Chris. Have a great day.
And that's going to put a wrap on this Salcedo Storm podcast. Folks, two websites you should check out. First off, TexasScorecard.com. That's TexasScorecard.com. All the news that impacts Texas. And if it's impacting Texas, it impacts the United States. And also visit ChrisSalcedo.com. Once you are there, you can figure out how to, book me for a speech. You can figure out how to leave me an email or a voicemail. It's all available for you there. Also, track down the Chris Salcedo Show on AM 700 KSEV, The Voice of Texas. There's an app for that, so you can hear it all over the country. And also on Newsmax TV, 4 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern until 5, Monday through Friday. Always at home on the Salcedo Storm podcast. So until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth, meaning its value, we don't measure it by how much power is stolen, taken away by an out-of-control government. No, we measure society's worth by how much power is reserved for you and me, we the people. See ya.
Tired of long waits and rushed care at the ER and urgent care clinic? Next time, stay home and let Dispatch Health bring the power of the hospital to you.
I call Dispatch Health. A care team of medical professionals actually come to your house.
They're the same caliber of people that you would see if you were at a hospital or an urgent care.
Dispatch Health can treat most non-life-threatening emergencies.
They can do the x-rays, they can do stitches,
urinary tract infections, blood tests, urinalysis, ultrasound.
It's almost everything that they can do at the ER.
You never feel rushed. They're there for you and only you.
I felt like their only patient.
And it costs no more than a trip to urgent care, because Dispatch Health is covered by most insurance, including Medicare. See if we serve your home at dispatchhealth.com.
Dispatch Health really went above and beyond.
It's wonderful to have care come to your home.
House calls are back, and they're better than ever. Learn more at dispatchhealth.com.
There's a highway that stretches across the 93 days of summer, where worship isn't offered to the sun, but to the smoking tire, the S-curve, and the spin turn. And if you ride it, make sure you do it in a Dodge Charger, Challenger, or Durango. Because on this highway, the lines being blurred are the ones between drivers and demons. Welcome to Highway 93. Dodge is a registered trademark.